Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to the Metron Live podcast, coming to you from beautiful historic Midtown Atlanta. Metron people, give the podcast people a big welcome. Once again, thank you to Charles McFall, the rock god of podcasting, who makes this possible every week. I never take it for granted, always appreciate it. I have not only enjoyed this series, I think it's made a positive difference in a lot of our lives. Our title this month is The Wisdom of Wholeness, Tuning into Wellness and Healing Your Life. And we've sort of focused on the different shade of meaning that wholeness has. Separates it a little bit from the word healing. To be healed is one thing. To be whole is something entirely different. And we've used a couple of stories from the Gospels. One of was about the 10 lepers who Jesus gave them a declaration and said, go to the priest and show yourself. And it says, as they were going, they were healed, and one came back and thanked him. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. And when you get into like a Greek lexicon and start seeing all the different shades of meaning, wholeness has more to do with just getting the pain to stop or the infection to stop. Sickness takes more out of you than just out physically. It affects your social life. Marriages fall apart because of people's sickness. There's all kind of things that happen that require someone being made whole, not just healed. Wholeness is a bigger picture. Sometimes when I drive home, I pass, it used to be Crawford Long, where I was born, but now it's Emory. And I can't tell you how many times I'll see somebody standing out. You can tell they're a patient because they're in a gown holding, they've got an IV outside smoking a cigarette. And sometimes there'll be like three or four of them out there in a gown with an IV. Sometimes you'll see them on an oxygen tank. Smoking a cigarette, and I think, wow, that person needs to be made whole because your problem is bigger than whatever you're in the hospital for right now. Is like, if you're in that situation, I don't know, you might ought to consider stopping smoking. Here's a thought. So wholeness has to do with much more than just being well. The other one was the story, I think we talked about it 2 weeks ago, the woman with the issue of blood who had had her situation for 12 years, and Jesus spoke to her and he said, your faith has made you whole. He called her daughter. So there was a lot connected to the healing. It was a reinstatement of her to the community. It was the removal of the negative connotation that goes with the disease. You know, in this day and time, there's so many new diseases all the time that this isn't a thing. But there was a time, remember when people wouldn't say the word cancer in polite society? It was like, I remember people would always whisper it. It'd be like, well, she's got. And it's just interesting that, like, not that I'm wanting to talk about it all the time, but it's just interesting that it nearly had a stigma to it. Nowadays, there's so many diseases. Now, you know, everybody's got everything, you know, so, like, everybody talks about everything. Post pictures of it, which, can I just say, if you have something really gross and horrible in your body, please don't photograph it and put it in my feed on Facebook. I there's some things I can't unsee because I'm scrolling down. I'm like, oh my God. Like, if you're, you know, at least pan out a little bit and show us your sad face with it, but don't just, dear God, I mean, how did you get the camera down into the infected wound? Like, Jesus, what is, really? There are several people who have my number that will, to get me to pray harder, they will send me pictures of what they want me to pray about. And I want to go, I'm not going to pray any harder. Please stop grossing me out. It's not a compassion situation. It's just, you know, I'm sitting at lunch scrolling, like, oh, I wish I had, you know, compassion and all, but yikes. Um, But this is what I want to share. It's very interesting. I don't know if Judah saw what I posted yesterday or if his choice of turn was synchronistic. It could have been both. But yesterday, in my memories, was my Facebook memories, was a photo album when I'd first done it 10 years ago of Church of the Now. A collection of just really good shots of when the building was full and different things that just, it's a beautiful, beautiful edifice, and a lot of great memories there. But Judah and Jonah both had their high school graduations there because we used to let all the, at no charge, mind you, like we gave that to the community. A lot of people don't know that, but, and there was even an op-ed in Rockdale Citizen about how much money I made off the high school graduations. I'm like, no, I've never charged anybody for that. But I loved Eastside was a great high school, and your principal, I think he's passed away now, but what was his name? I liked it. He was a good guy. We had, especially with the Newton County schools, we always had great relationships with them. But I was sharing, and it's always interesting. People's you kind of see where they are, even with me at this point. You know, the people who still know me and still, you know, are part of my life in a viable way. Other people who just have a memory, and it was fine. I don't want those memories to be lost. But someone had asked me. Some Facebook friend said, "When you see these pictures, are you glad those days are behind you? Do you miss them at all, or whatever?" And I was actually glad they asked, because I wanted a reason to say this, to say no, I don't miss it. That doesn't mean I didn't love it. It doesn't mean I'm not proud of it. I wouldn't be posting the pictures if I wasn't proud of it. I think it's wonderful. I don't want the memory of it to be lost. I'm glad that a church is there. As I've told you before, long before I ever knew I wouldn't be there, it was the strangest thing. On a Sunday, early Saturday morning, I was running with Pastor Lee, who is the pastor of Springfield, and as we came up over the hill, I didn't even premeditate it. I just looked at him and said, "You ought to buy my property." And he said, "Are you going somewhere?" I said, "No," and I don't even know why I said that. And it was just interesting. So when people say, "Does it bother you that he's there?" I said, "No, I spoke it into existence." You know, there's things that your spirit knows are coming that your mind doesn't know yet. So I'm glad. I'd much rather a church be there than like a swap meet or a car lot or something. So, and I passed it this week, yesterday, and it's beautiful, and I'm glad that they're taking care of it. And it's interesting, and this will feed into what I want to end on about wholeness. In my response, I said it was just a different season in my life, and I've learned that you don't have to hate the spring to love the summer. You don't have to miss the summer to love the fall. They're just different seasons, and every season is equally beautiful in its own way. Even this morning, people were still posting things on there that I can tell clearly haven't moved on with me. They're frozen in time, and it's fine. It's fine. It's like it's interesting because in the course of a day, especially through Facebook, I will communicate with somebody I went to elementary school with, somebody I went to high school with, somebody I went to college with. It's just interesting how social media has brought all of these different dimensions of your life. And I realize when I'm talking to these people, they're still, like if I ever post a picture of me from 40 or 50 years ago, people will say, there's Jimmy Swilly. That's the person that I remember. They don't know this current incarnation of me. And I like that about social media. I like that you can kind of keep up with people without having to, you know, your life has moved on, so you don't have a lot in common, but it's nice to know where they are, and, you know, I for the most part, I really do like it. And this is what I want to share about that, because I think I was sharing this with you guys the other night. I can, now that Facebook will allow me to have memories, and for a long time they wouldn't, they would say, "This is not available to everybody on Facebook." I don't know. When I see all of y'all post your memories, I'm like, I'm not invited to your memory secret society. But anyway, I guess they thought differently of it, and so they let me have them now. And what's interesting is I'll look at something that I wrote 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, and there wasn't a lot of ranting, but there was some venting. You know, there was some tersely written, to whom it may concern kind of thing. And when I read it now, I think, God, I'm not even that guy anymore. I don't even care about that now. Like, that's not even, I mean, if I were to post it now, it would be ironic to say, look how much I've evolved. And it was actually very pleasant to post those pictures and have a time where we could all remember it together. And some of you who are part of my life now posted on it. And we're, you know, you were talking about where we are at this point. And the way some people are writing about it, I think, did you think a building did that? Like, they're like, that building, did, you know, really, really, you know, I think it was what was happening in the building, but whatevs. But it was just good. I was just glad I could just enjoy the pictures, enjoy hearing from different people and hearing positive feedback. And there was no emotion on it whatsoever. It's like in the wintertime looking at a picture of yourself on the beach and go, oh, I remember the beach. Well, yeah, it's like because it was summertime at one point. And I want to say this because I was already thinking about this, even on the way over here today. For some reason, I was thinking about, this is still out of the theaters, but we went to, the other night, Ken and I went to see Apollo 11. It's actual footage. This is the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, which actually did happen, for God's sake. There's no way that many people could pull off. I mean, good Lord, I'm begging you, stop living in conspiracy. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to you. Stop living in conspiracy theories because it's making you crazy. Oh, they're out there in the desert. They didn't, yeah, really? That many people are going to be working at NASA. Shh, don't tell anybody, but we're going to pull off this great coup. And when you see that, there was a lot of footage that's never been seen before, and it shows the entire mission, like, you know, lots of footage from 1969 and all the way to them landing on the moon and walking for about an hour and then going back. And it's interesting because you get caught up in it, especially those of you that are, I mean, I clearly remember it. I remember going, some people in our church had color TV. We didn't have one at the time, so I remember we went to their house, even though the video was actually in black and white, but it seemed like they had a better TV. And I remember it being a big deal. I was, what, 11? And but I was thinking about what an extraordinary thing it was, first of all, that man could fly at all, but that we actually had space travel, which is still going on. Apparently, I didn't know this until I watched Saturday Night Live last night, but there's people in the space that are living in the space station now that went out to walk this week, and they only had one suit that fit a woman. So this other female astronaut who has spent her entire life getting ready for this thing couldn't go out for the walk because she didn't have the right clothes. Again, if you think women are griping too much, no, women have a point. And it was very funny the skit they did about it. But anyway, there's people that live out there in space and have been for a long time on these space stations. That's hard to imagine that goes on. I mean, I'm sure I'm too simple to understand this, but I think, how are they breathing? Like, how do they create the oxygen for them to live on this thing for years at a time? Anyway, huh? Thank you for that, Amanda. Amanda says they had a bonsai tree. Okay. Would you please put that into the notes? Amanda says they had a bonsai tree. But I was thinking about, like, this was such a huge accomplishment, and some people say it was a waste of time and money, but a lot of great discoveries came out of it. So a lot of what we have in technology now was a result of the you know, space travel. But what's interesting is, you know, you think about this huge deal of sending somebody to the moon, and that's been 50 years ago. It hasn't happened again. I mean, they just got out and walked around and took some pictures, and got back on the thing and went back to Earth because they couldn't stay out there that long. And then you see how enormous the solar system is and how big the universe is. This thing that you had posted, and I shared it again, showing all these, some of these planets and stars I've never even heard of. That, like, if this is our sun, there's these stars that are like this, and you get bigger and bigger. You start seeing how enormous the universe is. So you think about that little, you know, going from Earth to the moon is like, meep, it's like that. And there's all this other out there, some of which we can't even see, we don't even know exist. And I don't know how they know this, but they say the universe is expanding. You know, that's, it's just mind-boggling to think about that. What's that got to do with being whole? Well, I want to end this with this. And all of this makes sense. It's like why I posted those pictures yesterday. Judah saying to everything there is a season. Life is about, very much about the solving of mysteries. And the reason that's on my mind, even about the pictures I posted yesterday, because I was reading some of the things that I'd written, you know, in captions and stuff. And we really had some amazing, miraculous things that happened in the building of those buildings. I mean, it's amazing. I've told you the story about how, remember when we had built the big building, and at the end it was like the rainiest season I ever remember in my life, and we just had hit a dead end because it had rained so much we couldn't build it. We couldn't get the building finished. And that was when my Uncle Harry was still alive, and I called him one day. I said, "Uncle Harry, I've got to have some days without rain." I said, I need you to speak to the rain. And he said, how many days do you need? And I said, if I could get 3 weeks where I could get those crews back out there, we could at least get this building finished and the front of it closed in, and we can get back on schedule. But I've got all these crews that can't do anything. People have come from out of town, you know, to work, and they, you know, we're just on hold. And he said, it'll stop raining. It'll begin to rain again on the 21st day. It stopped immediately. We finished out the building. Christina was living with us at the time, and she called me one day. She said, "Dad, I just drove by the property, and it's literally raining on either side of the property. It's not raining on." So we had all of those amazing things. Then when you look at it in context, you think, well, then why didn't some, if there was that much supernatural involvement with it, why did some things end up there the way that they did? And it goes back to what I was talking about yesterday, what he was singing about. Everything is a season. And what I want to exhort you, and this is beyond just talking about health and eating right and exercising and that kind of stuff, because it's an effort. I mean, I lost some weight and I put some back on, and it's just like, oh, sweet Jesus. It's an effort. Especially when you live with somebody that loves sugar. The other day I was like, I know why Bobby Brown got Whitney on crack. I got it. Because when you live with somebody, after a while you're just like, okay, whatever. Hook me up. But, or some people say it was the other way around. I'm not judging Whitney or Bobby. I'm making a joke. Please, for God's sake, give me a day off. But what I'm talking about is wholeness in your emotional makeup. And I want to say this to you. Don't regret any season of your life. Don't regret any season of your life. If you had a relationship, like this morning, I noticed in her birthday would be today, my first sort of high school sweetheart today is her birthday. And her name was Terry. Terry and Christina's mom's name is Terry. And we don't even have the kind of, I forgot we were even Facebook friends. And we're not really in touch enough for me to even say happy birthday. But I looked at her and, you know, I was looking at her kids and, like, she looks like really happy, and she's been married to this guy all these years, and I can tell she really loves being a mom and a grandmother. So I'm like, good. I'm glad you had a happy life and you dodged a bullet marrying me. So kudos for you. Although I did, this was years ago when I was married to Judah and Jonah's mom. We were at some event, and the church was big then. It wasn't at its biggest, but we were on TBN, and it was growing a lot. And we ran into her, and she said, "Oh, I can't believe how humongous your church is." I said, "Well, it's not that big." She says, "Yeah." So I married a guy that's a pastor, and we've had 20 members for all these years. She says, "Your church is huge." I said, "Yeah. What can I say?" I didn't say that. She looks very happy. And I looked at that and I thought, you know, I don't have any regrets for whatever time. I mean, I can remember things I learned from her because she was a couple years older than me and knew stuff that I didn't know. So I'm like, no, I'm glad for the input that you had into my life. Even if you had a relationship that ended badly, don't even regret that. If you experience love in your life at all, I think I posted this back at Valentine's Day. If you've even just known what it is to have love or to be in love, then be grateful that you experienced that and separate what was positive from what was negative. Wholeness means you can get to a place in your life where you can look back on your 6 days of creation as God did in the Genesis narrative and say, no, it's good. I'm not changing anything. Whatever it is, what the challenges were, things that caused me to evolve, and I wouldn't be the person I am today. Because I'm going to tell you this, if you can look back on any of it, and we've all had pain, we've all had heartache, we've all had disappointments, we've all had all kinds of, everybody in here has. But if you look back on everything with pain and regret, you'll never walk in wholeness. You've got to be able to look back on all of it and say, man, there was some, I'm like looking at those pictures of Church in the Now yesterday, I can only remember good times. And I know there were not only good times during that 30-year period. This one, do you mind me saying something about the possibility? Is okay? Well, I know someone that might be going somewhere. And we had a conversation because it's an older play. You don't know who I'm talking about. Don't look around. It's an older place where the buildings are paid for. And my conversation was, I said, you know, big buildings are fabulous, but smaller buildings that are paid for are really there's a whole case that can be made for that as well. That's all I didn't mention anybody in this room. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying that I regret anything in my journey. I'm just saying it's all, whatever you have in your journey is good for you. Embrace it. If you spend your time comparing it to somebody else, you'll never walk in wholeness. Wholeness is when you say, no, my life is my life. My journey is my journey. I'm not comparing mine to yours. Your situation is different. I mean, I'm being very personal today, as I always am, but I had a conversation with my mom last night and was having a difficult time with my dad last night, which this is the crazy thing about my dad. Wednesday night, we're all there. He kind of doesn't know who anybody is. We're having to literally carry him from room to room. You put a camera on him and he's like, and you're like, oh my dad, your dad looks fabulous. People think they think I'm lying. I'm like, if you could only have seen him, I don't know what it is. My parents, sweet Jesus. You put him in front of an audience or a camera, and they totally make you out of a lie. You know, I'm like, well, just pray for him. Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And then you see, what the heck? So I just went with it. It was like, oh my God, he looks fabulous. I'm like, I know. But as she was telling me, Ernie's in a situation with his brother-in-law, with his sister, who was the caretaker of his mother for all these years. Now, it's a very serious situation, unusual situation with him. So when my mom was telling me their situation. I said, well, let me tell you what's happening with, I'm not trying to top your story. I'm just saying, let me tell you this other situation. And she said, you know, you're right. It's like everything is relative. And I said, well, everybody's got a thing they're dealing with. And wholeness means more than just being well in your body. It's being, well, even, you were just in the zone with your choices today. Even singing it is well. It is well, to be able to say it is well, is the, that's the confession of wholeness. So when somebody says to me, do you miss those days? Like, no, I don't miss them. I love them. I'm proud of them. If somebody told me they were tearing those buildings down, I'd be devastated. I would hate that. I want the memory to be celebrated. But I don't miss it. I love my life now. I love this now. I enjoy this. Actually, I enjoy this much more. So that's what I want to leave you with today. And I didn't discuss his song choices at all, but to everything there is a season, and it is well. I can't add any more to that, because that's what wholeness says. And it doesn't mean it's all easy. It doesn't mean that you know how everything's going to play out. You know, it can sound like a contradiction in terms to say I'm setting an intention, but I'm detaching myself from outcomes. But that's what you have to do, is to say, this is what I want to happen. It's kind of like the three Hebrew children. We believe God will deliver us from this fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. There's something about adding that dimension to it. It's like, say, I'm believing for the best, but if the worst happens, I'll still be okay. That's what wholeness sounds like. And here's the thing, when you become whole, you remove all the wounds from your subconscious that continue to trigger you. And if there's something that somebody says to you that triggers you, you need to ask yourself, why is this, where's this coming from? Why am I overreacting to this? And call it for what it is. If it's hormonal, then call it that. If you're hangry. I know if my blood sugar is low, I don't see reality the same. I can tell when I think I need to eat something because I'm feeling something. This isn't depression. It's something. This is physiological. I need my blood sugar raised. So I know that about my body. I know that's why I used to say, don't counsel with me before lunch. You know, if I'm really hungry, I'll be like, oh my God, your situation's much worse. After lunch, I'm like, everything's going to be fine. God is good all the time. That's not exactly true. It's quasi true. Not that God's good all the time. Not that part. Really? Is he not good all the time? No. I meant what I was saying about the, I am a professional. But I want to leave this with you today, because I believe it's a rhema word to say this is how you become whole. And some of us still have some work to do. You know, I saw a couple of things happen this week in interpersonal relationships where I thought, well, there's some work here that needs to be done. And you know, we keep going for it, but there's a lot of mystery of it. The moonwalk is that. The universe is this. And I also want to say this, since I mentioned miracles in the building program, don't second guess any of your spiritual experiences either. If you had a testimony that you went forward to an altar and somebody prayed for you and your life was changed, nobody's taking that away from you. If that's your truth, you hold on to that. It was interesting, there was a picture on Dr. Dispenza's page that I saw last week. And I don't know what was happening. It was at one of his retreats. And this woman was standing there with her hands up, and she has this look of ecstasy on her face, and all these people are around her like they're encouraging her or something. I thought, That looks exactly like an altar service where Pentecostals are praying for somebody to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's like it looked like if you had taken that out and said, here's a picture from such and such a revival, I'd be like, I wouldn't have thought any differently. So one person's ecstatic experience may be defined one way. Don't judge it. Whatever was yours, I don't regret anything that, you know, the charismatic movement, the word of faith movement, Pentecostalism, all of it. Every part that I was involved with added something to my life and to who I am now and to what I teach now. And I know that you're right there with me because I've had spiritual experiences with all of you, and we're in a different zone now. But it's just as valid, it's just as real, because we are all whole. That's what I want to leave you with. Thank you for being with us on the Metron Live podcast. We're going to end a little bit early because we celebrate my birthday. But thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time here on Metron Live.